Welcome, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. This is Sasha, SashaTalks.com. Today is a special segment because it will be a recap of a few topics that we covered this season on Sasha Talks BBS. Anyone willing to join us, you're welcome to follow our live feed. Go to SashaTalks.com and click on the contact page. I will be receiving your messages. Please keep in mind that all content provided and correspondence is subject to terms of service and disclaimers of Sasha Talks. So along the past several months, we've covered different topics ranging from love and relationships to self-development, how to make up, break up, tips for online dating, the power of gratitude, forgiveness. Is it good to apologize? Is it not? So I thought to walk us down through the path of a few topics that we did cover. And it would be just a sheer refresher for everyone out there in the audience. For those of you who have tuned in for all of the segments, thank you for your time and being part of the Sasha Talks community. There we do have a great following within North America, Europe, Australia, and then we always have new countries joining us. That is the beauty of BBS Radio, that we do air in over 180 countries. And I was new on BBS. I did question, is it even possible to reach an audience that broad? And as people drop by and write to us from different countries, I do know we have a lot of people from Russia, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, United States, Mexico. There are only a few of the countries that I'm naming. And then there are some countries that we have audience members who write to us, and I didn't even know that that country existed. So thanks to all of you out there. Not only do we love to share our segments with you, but you also have contributed in broadening my horizons. So let's get started with a few of the topics that I did present throughout the season. First one to kick off the season was tips for online dating. Regardless of what time of the year it is, men and women are curious about when are they going to meet the love of their life, or how will their dating situation go, when will they come to a new relationship, and when will they be leaving a relationship. There's always a ending to a beginning and a beginning to an ending, so always look at it in a positive light. Now, in the tips for online dating, I talked about the do's and don'ts of dating. And for overall, I want to stress that no matter where you are in the world, online dating is a great tool since the past 15 years. And every year they come up with new innovations and technologies that allow you to communicate with people, not only through online, but through the phone and technology and texting, while also protecting your privacy. I had used the example of the website Match.com, eHarmony. I know that there are many other foreign websites and iPhone apps available for dating. And there are at least about 52 to 55 dating websites that make millions of dollars in the United States. And they also invite people globally to join the dating phenomenon. But going back to the main message I wanted to stress on that segment was always use common sense. Remember, safety comes first. We all want to find love. You want to have the fun. You want the dating. You want the intimacy. You want the attention. Take good care of yourself. But when I say that, not only about how you look, but I also mean that use common sense and be safe. If something doesn't feel right when you make that connection online, you don't have to meet that man or woman in person. And your intentions usually will dictate your actions. So make sure that your intentions are fair. And if you're looking for a long-term relationship, make it known to the other person or share it in your profile. You don't want to be dating someone and then you feel that you've been shorthanded because the other person wasn't honest with you. And since it is online dating, people like to represent themselves in a light where they envision themselves to be. They present the best character that they hope to be. So you want to be realistic. Don't jump to conclusions and always be safe. Moving along, we talked about detoxing bodies. it was time to detox, how to go about grounding your energy, cleaning out your mind, cleaning out your emotions, and on this segment, we focused on our physical bodies. What are a few ingredients, natural ingredients that we could take to clean our body? And it didn't have to do with certain parts of the body or the system, it was your overall body. For example, we talked about apple cider vinegar. You could buy that from a vitamin shop or a GNC or a health shop. The original apple cider vinegar, it could help you fight allergies if you're looking to lose weight, or you also want to maintain your detox. Some people take apple cider vinegar as a form of detox. Other people take it as a lifestyle. I take it as part of a lifestyle where you drink a little bit mixed with water. There were other ingredients that I talked about, Sunny 7, which is another holistic remedy which comprises of bentonite clay. Bentonite clay has been used for centuries, not only on your skin, but also in liquid form for your internal body cleansing. Detoxes are not always to lose weight. I want to emphasize that people do detoxes for different reasons. You might be having fatigue or suffering from a certain symptom and you feel that cleaning out your body will do you good. Even if you don't have a problem and you consider a detox, please check with your medical professional or doctor before engaging in any sudden changes that affect your body. What you put in your body, whether you drink it, it's medication, or you eat it, you want to know what you're putting in your body. It's really important. Because sometimes people engage in a behavior and they think that, okay, I'm doing something good for myself, and it might end up yielding more side effects. And if you're curious to learn more about the detoxes, you can go to the Sasha Talks blog, empathsasha.blogspot.com. It could also be found through going to sashatalks.com. Following Time to Talks, we talked about holistic therapies, different forms of oriental therapies. Not all of them are oriental, but natural. So you're not going to the store and getting over-the-counter medication. What do you do if you suffer from insomnia or if you have allergies? Are you trying to reground your body, align your mental, emotional, and spiritual health? There I talked about the benefits of yoga, the various parts of yoga, breathing meditations, those who like to try different remedies from massage, different types of massages, deep tissue massage, Swedish massage. Massage is great for your body. It works in alignment of your energy and also aligning your body, the flow of your energy. Acupuncture also does that. It redirects the energy traveling throughout your body. Some people seek it out for as a pain remedy to remedy their pain situation, whether it's lower back or neck. I have used it for insomnia. It varies body by body, mind by mind, of how well your body will react to different holistic therapies. Again, you have to check with your medical provider depending on what you're trying to accomplish. If you don't have any concerns and you want to try it, there's no harm in it. But again, I tell people, apply common sense. Because sometimes people get excited, they have the resources, they have the time and money, and then they go out buying services that might not be intended for them. Moving along, within holistic therapies, I did a segment on benefits of yoga. There I talked about my experience with Bikram yoga, how yoga benefits you overall. It's not only about exercising your body, but it's also a good way of getting started on a form of meditation where you get to focus. You learn how to clear your mind, focus, learn how to develop your intentions and let those intentions manifest into thoughts, thoughts manifest into actions. Between thoughts and actions, we have to execute that thought. And then the actions typically yield an outcome. I have one friend who's a little bit superstitious, but then again, it is their personal belief, not mine. everyone believes what works for them, that when they engage in certain types of meditation, they're working towards a goal. Whether you're looking for a job or you want to get a new car, you're willing to buy a house. It doesn't have to be materialistic. It could also be that you want to leave the country and you want to travel out somewhere, or you are trying to manifest your soulmate, your lover. All of that could be done if you know how to use certain tools in your life, if you learn how to ground your energy, if you take advantage of the meditations out there. Not every meditation will be the appropriate one for your personality. I will admit that when I came across meditation, I thought I was a little bit too hyper at that phase in my life for me to sit down and calm my monkey mind. But eventually, with time, I trained it to at least embrace one of the meditations that worked. And you pick what works for you and what you feel comfortable with. You don't have to do 10 meditations in order to yield a result. You could pick two good ones that work for you, and if you're consistent at it, you will see the result. There are money meditations out there. There's emotional freedom technique, the EFT tapping, that you could look up. And there are a few good YouTube videos online that I have come across. Then there's the meditation of just deep breathing, sitting still, silencing your mind, and learning how to just detach from the worldly day-to-day chaoticness, even for 10 minutes in a day. Or you could do yoga. There are many different aspects of it. And I would say keep on trying till you find something that works for you. Next, going from mind and body development, we skipped over to the world of love and relationships. Will he cheat again? And we talked about infidelity and what aspects of infidelity can be worked with, and how people work with cheating in their relationships. Are you forgiving of it? How do you overcome it? Is cheating a behavior that can be blamed or projected upon anyone else other than the person who cheats? And the complexities of relationships. What drives a person to cheat? How could cheating be foolproof? I don't believe that cheating could be foolproof, because as long as there are people living, breathing, and going about their day, there also has to be some form of discipline within themselves than just reacting to their environment. So, will he cheat again? That was a segment that we covered. Then we moved back on, revisiting to our mind and body. Sleeping in a chaotic world. What is the benefit that we derive from sleeping? The different types of sleep. What stages of sleep dictate how grounded our energy will be? I talked about REM sleep and how sleep has been perceived over the centuries in different cultures. And what value does it bring other than just restoring your body on a physical level? After covering sleep, I moved on to the world of dreams. One of the things that I do at Sasha Talks, now and then I have clients who come to me, they don't have questions about love, but they want me to look into their dream. There are many dream themes that are common among people. There are also dream symbols, but I talk about the world of dreams as what happens to your brain when you're dreaming. Why do we dream? Why do you keep on having that dream over and over again? What's going on in your waking life that you've been either running from or you're trying to figure out, but you haven't had the right tool or resource to untap that riddle? 5 people could have a similar dream, but they all have 5 unique explanations for why they're having that dream. Some dreams are bold, some are really surreal, they're vivid. How do dreams play a role in people's waking life, their relationships? If we're not paying attention in our waking life, then I do believe that dreams have a way of popping up and forcing us to pay attention to certain people or certain events, or they also foretell what is to come. Dreams have been around for centuries. They've been presented in different contexts, religious, cultural, There have been many dream studies done. Then there are scientists who believe, and they have substantial evidence backing it up. And then there are researchers who don't believe in it, and they think that it's just a part of our living experience, but not to hone too much on it, or else we're passing up the time in our waking life. Then I abandoned the outer world and love, and I went forward to address one thing that people need to focus more on. The segment was Ready, Get Set, Go, goal setting. Everyone has a goal that they want to achieve, whether it's a little goal or a long-term goal, a career goal. They want to improve their relationship, they want to improve their body, they want to lose weight, they want to travel the world, they want to earn more money. How do you go about it? The first thing you do is you come up with the intention, you think about it. But then I walk you down the road of different steps, things to consider when you're going about goal setting. You want to make sure that your goal is realistic. It doesn't mean that if you want to work towards $1 million, you cannot. You can. You will reach that $1 million if you believe. The main ingredient of reaching any goal out there is believing. If you don't believe in yourself, no one else is going to believe in you. And it's not about people believing in you. How will the universe believe in you if you don't believe in yourself? When people believe, the difference between believers and non-believers when it comes to their day-to-day routine is that those who believe, they have a sense of focus. They already have an idea of how to get to their goal. And the only way they keep on refining it is by keeping at it day by day. And you have to be mindful of the resources you have. How are you going to go about it? Do you have the right people? Some goals involve other people in your path. Other goals don't need other people in your path. You just need yourself. Sometimes we could be our own enemy because we're so hard-headed that we're not looking at the broader picture, that things are attainable. But you have to be emotionally, mentally, and physically all aligned to make that happen. If you're going through the actions but you don't believe in your goal or believe in yourself, your actions are going to fall short. They might get you close to your goal, but you won't reach it. And also, your goal setting and you're on your path to achieving whatever you set out to do, you want to make sure that you're learning and you're not going through steps that work for other people. You also have to kind of customize your strategy based upon your lifestyle and your threshold. Everyone is different. Have realistic time frames when you want to reach your goal. If it's a goal that has to do with love and relationships, please keep in mind that anything that involves another human being, you could control your actions, but you can't control the other person. So you have to leave room for flexibility. And sometimes when things don't go right the first time, you could give it another try and keep at it, because it's only a matter of time you're going to get what you are seeking. Then we moved along to the power of the mind, how the mind is such a valuable machine and it's a great force of energy, that we are what we think. Everything in life has energy. Thoughts, words, actions, people, things. And a great book to read in order to understand the power of the mind would be The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. It came out several years ago, and it talks about the value of the present. Because the mind doesn't know whether it's in the past, the present, or the future. That's why we need to tame our mind. Everything in our life at one point happened in the present. So the mind has a filing system, and every time we come across something or someone where it feels deja vu, the mind goes back in the filing system and pulls up a similar event that we could relate to. Now and then, we have experiences that are tragic or unfortunate or hurtful or painful or negative. And those are the ones that we want to rewrite. You're not rewriting history, but you need to view them in a positive light. Sometimes people put so much emphasis on the negative emotions and negative memories that they fail to seek value from their present. And in the Power of the Mind, I talk about the Law of Attraction, one of the books that have been out there for more than several years now, The Secret, How to Ground Your Energy. And if you don't learn how to tame your mind and filter the thoughts that come in, you want to filter the bad ones. Keep the bad ones out, keep the good ones in. And we are the company that we keep. So if you're in a negative environment around people and they're not helping your cause, you might want to change the environment that you surround yourself in. The mind will dictate the emotions, and also the state of the mind is typically present in your physical presentation. So mental health is important. Once we left the mind, we went on to astral travel. We covered sleep, we covered the world of dreams, but then I talked about astral travel. Is it real, or is it just a manifested reality by people who claim that their soul could leave their body and travel out to distances that are limitless? You're dwelling in a world which is between heaven and hell, in its own world where you could be either greeted by a spirit, an angel, or a demon. And I talked about those circumstances that are presented through studies and people's experiences. And astral travel is real. And there's always a debate, even from the Bible in religious contexts. And then there are communities out there that exist in Northern America and outside where they use astral travel as a form of a resolution, that if you have any problems in your life or in your community, you travel astrally to seek a solution, and how powerful it can be. There are people who try to learn how to do that, and then there are others who have been doing it, but they never have labeled their experience with that term. And usually when astral travel takes place, not everybody will remember that they did it. And I talk about at what stage of your sleep that is most likely to happen. Once we left the astral realm, we moved on to the world of gratitude. Why is it important to give thanks to Mother Nature and the universe for all the things that we do have? Even on a bad day, we may think that our world is upside down and glass half empty, but it is important that the more gratitude we show, it is a form of building our energy vibrations, raising them, and when we raise our energy vibrations, we're paying it forward. And with paying it forward, I talked about a few charities where people with appropriate time, resources, can consider contributing their, I would say, resources. One of them was Ricky Martin Foundation, that helps with preventing child trafficking and helping women. They invest their resources in building education centers and educating people how to protect themselves and women so they are not sold into sexual slavery. It is a great cause that they rally for, and they do it through the power of education. Another charity I had shared was Make-A-Wish Foundation, where there are different chapters of it throughout the United States. You could go to makeawish.org, and there people could share, volunteer their time, offer a little money, or sponsor a wish. There are children out there who are sick, and they typically have a wish, whether they want to go to a certain destination, or they want a certain gift for a holiday, or they want to meet somebody. It could be famous, or they want to go to a baseball game. It could be big or small. It doesn't matter. But ultimately, it is a wish of a child. And a person could sponsor that wish and make that wish come true. Now, when I talk about charities, I want to remind people that not every charity, charities could benefit from your money, but nobody has to be a millionaire in order to pay it forward. You could donate a dollar, you could donate $2, or it could be $5. Some people donate their time. Their time is more valuable than any amount of money. That is one thing I notice among my audience. They fail to understand that there will be people who will wait a long period of time to talk to me, but their time is so valuable, and I usually remind them, you could just go to the consult page. Now and then, depending on my availability, I will get back to you. People underestimate the value of time. You could use that same time and donate it somewhere for half an hour or 2 hours on a weekend at a homeless shelter or for any charity that interests you. So gratitude was all about saying thank you to Mother Nature and practicing it as a lifestyle. And if you do it day by day, it will become a habit. And sooner or later, you're going to notice there's a pattern. The more gratitude you show, the more blessings come into your life, which also allows you to pay it forward to people who are in need. And it doesn't always have to be a charity. There could be a person out there who just needs someone to listen to their stories, an ear, a companionship. You could hold the door open for someone. You never know how you're going to impact another person's life. Following that was back into the world of love and relationships. It seems that we could never run far from love because there's always some great challenge that we delve into or we try to figure out, we come close to it, but then again, we start all over again. I talked about the Peter Pan syndrome. Who is Peter Pan and what is he known for? Peter Pan historically was a character who loved his childhood. He was adventurous, carefree, and there was no need for him to grow up. And in terms of dating, Peter Pan are typically more so men than women who have a body of an adult. They are grown ups, but they have the mind and emotions of a child. They don't like to grow up and embrace the real world of obligations and commitment. They don't like to commit. So what do you do when you're dating a Peter Pan? Can you change him? What are the signs to look out for a Peter Pan? Do they ever grow up? If you play with Peter Pan, will you ever walk down the aisle with him? Well, that I will leave for you to figure out, but you could find the article on the Sasha Talks blog, aside from the segment in archives. And then after Peter Pan, we talked about recovering from breakups. Are all breakups a good thing or a bad thing? Breaking up is just another transition from coming out of a relationship and before you move on into your next love life journey. I talk about the do's and the don'ts. Here I emphasize that when you go through a breakup, reassess what you learned from your relationship, what good came out of it, what did you learn about yourself, what would you do differently, and what you look forward to. Usually when people go through a breakup, it's so traumatic in most cases that they're not looking forward to the future, but they dwell onto the past. In order to grow, it is important to learn from your past, but make sure you don't hold on to it so tightly that you miss out on the present and the future. You want to emotionally evolve and you want to keep evolving. That will only benefit you in your next future relationship. And then moving along from breakups was the world of apologizing and forgiveness. Do sincere apologies exist in the world today? When people apologize to you, do they mean it or are they apologizing because they just want to get over it? And along with that, I talked about forgiveness, which was partially presented in last year's segment, The Power of Forgiveness. How does it impact your life and the life of the person who needs forgiving? Are you doing it for yourself? What psychological value do you benefit from when you apologize and when you forgive? And then I also spent a little bit of time talking about people who don't like to forgive people and who don't like to apologize. What do they get out of not apologizing? Is it a power and control scheme? To learn more about that, and before giving everything away, all of you are welcome to go to sashatalks.com. Click on the media page for some updates. You're welcome to go on the blog where it alludes to a preview of these segments that were presented. And you're more than welcome to go through the BBS archives. And for any questions, thoughts, you're welcome to write to me at sashatalks.com. And I do want to wish everyone a great end of the year, and I do look forward to crossing paths with you soon. Be good, be safe, be blessed. God bless.